Hi, everybody. I'm Terry Brown, and this is Bass Fan Radio, and I've captured Alton Jones. He's with me today. He's a guy that has been just a wonderful angler out on the BASS and FLW trails. He's done a great job. As you look at the anglers, they're always in the top bunch of anglers that are in the winnings and the money. He's the guy that's always there. And Alton, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks, Terry. I'm glad to be here.
Well, let's talk about, if we can, let's talk about a little bit about technique. And I know as from Texas, you got to throw that jig once in a while. And, you know, maybe you can let out a couple of secrets for us. You know, I always try to find out something maybe that the guys don't know about. And one of the things I've always had a question about, you hear about guys trimming a jig or working on a skirt or doing some of those kind of things. Can you tell me what are some of the Alton Jones secrets?
Yeah, well, one thing is, if you look at most jigs that are on the market nowadays, almost all of them have a rattle built into them, but there's times when I like to fish a jig without a rattle, and it's really based on the conditions. One of the times is in real clear water. If the bass, I think, is feeding primarily based on sight and has a lot of visibility available to him, I want to take that rattle off of there, especially on that bluebird day right after a cold front. Those are the days the bass are spooky. You see, a rattle can do a couple of things. One is it can help a bass find your lure. But another thing is it can help him get away from it. You know, in a lot of days there's moods when they really want to get away from your lure. So I like on those real clear water, perhaps cold weather, and days when the sun's out bright, I'm going to take the rattle off my jig. I primarily use the Riverside jig, and it actually has a rattle that you can choose either to put on or take off as you like. But people, a lot of times, they just tie on a jig, and they don't think about whether or not it has a rattle, and they kind of haphazardly use the bait without knowing why they're picking this particular version. So a lot of times just maybe putting a little bit of thought into why you're doing what you're doing, do I need this particular feature, you know, it can put more and bigger fish in the live well for you.
Well, let's talk about color. I mean, that's something I think that there's, you know, you always hear these hot colors. You know, if you go to Sam Rayburn in the spring, it's going to be red. If you go, you know, some of these other lakes, they've got different colors that work. What really kind of keys you on what you're going to do? Is it the water color? Is it the, you know, the turbidity? What are some of the things you look forward?
Well, water color certainly comes into it. But when I'm fishing a jig in particular, the main food source for a bass that I'm trying to imitate is a crawfish. And I'm really not thinking about shad. I'm not thinking about bluegill. I'm not thinking about anything else. So I'm going to stick a lot with my natural colors, or at least with colors that fairly closely emulate a crawdad. And, you know, that can be a wide range of colors. Some of my favorites, just to give you an example, would be black and blue. A lot of times you'll find crawdad that have a real dark shell and maybe have a bluish tint. A brown and orange is another dynamite combination. Green pumpkin or watermelon seed is another real good color for me on a jig. But in the way I decide on any particular day, if you ever watch crawdads in clear water, you'll notice that almost like a chameleon lizard, over a period of time, they tend to turn very similar color to the bottom of the lake that they're on. So if you have fish that are on a limestone rock, for example, they may be a real light brown, like a green pumpkin type color. Or a pumpkin seed type color. If you have fish that are on a real mossy bottom or a silted bottom, a lot of times they'll be very dark brown or dark green, like a watermelon seed or a black. So that's kind of some of the guidelines I use when I'm selecting what color am I going to fish in this particular area or this body of water.
Well, you mentioned a very big standby out on the trails is the black and blue, but, you know, like you mentioned, some of these other colors now have kind of found their niche and people are starting to use them different. But I can remember, you know, a lot of years where guys would just use brown and black, maybe a brown chunk and a black jig, or maybe, you know, that black and blue combination. But now these jigs just keep getting better, and you're able to really emulate that bait a little bit better, don't you think?
Well, you really can, and a lot of it too boils down to confidence. If you're not fishing a color that you have a lot of confidence in, you're probably not going to fish it effectively. You're going to tend to rush your shots a little bit, and you're going to be in a hurry to get back to something you do have confidence in. So, yeah, I'm not a big color freak. I have just a few colors. If you look through my jig box and even my soft plastics, I have that list narrowed down to just a handful, maybe 8 or 10 colors. You know, I fish with guys all the time that at the end of the day they'll come in and they'll say, man, how come you caught twice as many as I did? And, you know, the easy answer is I made twice as many casts because that person was down in the boat retying all day. Most fishermen are always looking for the magic lure or the magic color. And the simple answer to that is it doesn't exist.
Well, let's go through your tackle box a little bit. You mentioned
Sure.
that. You know, one thing you talk about color, you talk about different varieties and shapes and weights and all the stuff we can have. You know, you could have a whole boat that all you had was tackle in it. A lot of guys now are kind of trying to trim that down and really go to these confidence baits, as you mentioned.
Well, you have to have a large variety in your boat because your lures are just a tool. But when it comes to color selection, you can look through my crankbait box for example, and I may have 10 different sizes of Excalibur fat-free shads in that box. But you're going to see a repetition of about five or six colors that keep coming up over and over and over again, simply because they do a good representation of the food source that I'm trying to imitate when I'm using those particular lures.
All right, well, you got me curious now. This is radio. Don't forget, we're not television here. What colors would you have in that box?
Okay, well, one is a white, pearl white. Another is a chrome with a blue back or chrome with a black back, and those two colors are real good for imitating shad. Another is going to be a fire tiger color or a chartreuse with a blue back, and those are going to be for imitating bluegill. And the other colors that I have are going to be a red one, and the red may have some black marks or stripes on it of some sort, and some very dark green ones, and those are for imitating crawfish. Those three food items are the main thing that a bass eats most of the time. That's your shad, your bluegill, and your crawfish. If I can learn to imitate those three baits, most of the time I can catch a lot of bass almost anywhere in the United States that I go.
Well, I've told you before, when I do this show, you know, one of the things I'm going to try to do is be different, and I'm not going to get out of here without getting something for me either, see? So I'm trying to narrow my tackle box selection down a little bit. You know, it's kind of funny, all, you know, we talk about tackle boxes, and, you know, a lot of guys have a box, actually, and, you know, I've kind of went away from that. I think probably my best tackle boxes are my boat, number one, but also maybe a Walmart bag, or, you know, just something where you found, you've got confidence, you know where everything's at in that bag. I mean, is that sort of what the pros are doing as well?
Well, organization is very important. When I'm on the water and I need to make a change, I need to be able to know where what I'm looking for is in my boat and be able to get to it quickly. And what I've chosen to do, my Skeeter has two great big closable compartments on the front, and I fill it full of the Plano little thin plastic boxes, and I have a box for example, for the Garrett Mega Tube, and I'll have a box for my fat-free shads, and I'll have a box for my Cordell Hotspots, whatever. But I've got them organized in there, and I know exactly which lid I need to lift and exactly where that box is supposed to be that has those baits in it so that I can get to them quick. And, you know, a lot of times guys will fish, and at the end of the day, there's a mess of lures all over the bottom of the boat. It's a very inefficient way to do it. When a lure comes off mine, it goes quickly back into those boxes. Let me give you another tip real quick if we've got time. I almost always store my crankbaits without hooks. You'll be surprised how many more crankbaits you can fit in a box if you just, with your finger, separate that little spur ring and take the hooks off. And I keep my hooks in a separate box. By the time the tournament starts, I usually know which baits I'm gonna be throwing, and I'll take four or five of those, and I'll hook them up. So that way also it's making me be sure that my hooks are sharp and ready at a moment's notice.
Well, you know, that's a great tip, and I think a lot of people wouldn't even think about that. And you know, I guess my Walmart bags wasn't such a good idea then, huh?
Well, everybody's going to have their own system. You know, that's the important thing. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to save time throughout the day. Every time I can save a cast, that's an opportunity for a 5-pounder. Okay, and if I can learn to save 10 casts over a day, over the course of a season, that's pretty substantial. That's going to be 1,000 casts or more, and that's going to average into several extra fish that I'm going to put in my live well that I wouldn't have if I weren't so organized.
Well, and it also equates to dollars, and, you know, being a little facetious there, it's all about money. It's all about getting out there and enjoying the sport that we both love and being a part of it. Here at Bass Fan Radio, we're just glad we get a chance to talk to you guys once in a while.
Well, we are, too. We're glad to have you guys out there working for us. And, you know, without you guys, there's lots of things that we wouldn't be able to accomplish in this sport. You're helping get our message out there very well.
Well, this is Alton Jones.
And I'm Terry Brown, and this is Bass Fan Radio.